And now from Sin City, the hottest sports betting show in the nation, Friday Night Locks.
With your hosts, Justin.
But it would be really cute with all that they've gone through to get into the playoffs.
Tanya.
Well, this is a done game.
The Tampa Bay game, you were like.
And Jason.
Gonna shock and amaze you. Ready? Ready for this?
Two dads and a mom that make betting fun. If it's Friday, it's friends, family, football, and Friday Night Locks. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
All right. Welcome back to the spooky week 8 of the NFL. Because everything's wild and spooky and crazy and scary. And what is going on?
I love this week because this is when on TV, even on Sunday, Halloween's on Monday, everyone's all dressed up and crazy. And then there's a Monday night game on Halloween. So that should be nuts.
Ooh.
I love the fan. They're very creative costumes that you always see. And I dig this week, actually.
Well, somebody put a razor blade in my apple because I was so cold last weekend. So cold. Had my worst week in the contest. Had my worst week on the pod.
Aww.
Thank goodness for you guys because you remained red hot and saved our program. Actually, I did a little calculation this morning, which I thought you guys might like to know. Last week, we were 3-2 again. Who has two thumbs and lost twice? This guy. Jay, you're on such a hot streak. You're 6-0 the last three pods. T, you remain perfect. You survived. But overall, since we started from week 1 through week 7, almost halfway through the regular season, on the pod, for all the picks that we've given out against the spread, were 20 wins, 14 losses for a percentage of 59%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is absolutely excellent.
Yay!
Kudos to you guys for keeping our average up. I was not great this last weekend. I started out hot and then I hit a speed bump. I'm hoping to get back on track.
You will.
But I just thought that I'd throw that out there because it's interesting to see about halfway through that we're definitely in the black.
Well, I wouldn't feel bad, that bad. All glory goes to God.
Today, I am the greatest baseball player
of all time, time. Just a reference on kind of what this season, what's happened in this season. The circuit contest, which we're in every year, you have 5 bets and it's just accumulation of whoever has the most at the end of the year. They split the $6 million and all that. There's a survivor pool in Circa, $1,000 entry that we're not in because that's kind of like one and done. You're out $1,000. We have a couple other survivor contests that we're in, but we always watch and gauge the survivor contest because these people that are putting up $1,000, most of them are sharp. Some of them are just rich and don't care. Some of them put in a ticket when they're drunk and they're up from the crap table. But this year they had a whopping 6,133 injuries.
That's a record.
Going into week 8, spooky week 8, there are 125 people left. Last week they had 382. Two people didn't put their picks in. Like week 7, you're hanging. This is like you're surviving. You're down to 382 people and you don't even get your picks in. So they're out. So going into Sunday, after the cutoff, 380 people remained. 175 were on the Pats. 70 were on the Bucks. And then that, you know, so that's almost 200 right there. And then like another 10 or 40. So whatever left, you know, random other games. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy to think.
You said 100 people left now?
125 on the nose.
And the prize is $6 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
And usually there's, I think the last couple of years they do, they've been tying and stuff, you know, but they also do like a Thanksgiving and a Christmas. So you have to play, I can't remember, you have to play, it's technically 20 weeks because they add a week in Christmas and in Thanksgiving. And then on the Christmas week, you have to have the Super Bowl teams left.
Mm-hmm.
So going into Christmas, you have to either play the Bengals or the Rams. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So
you have to have one of those teams left in order to qualify for the big chips. Otherwise, you could still survive and not play Thanksgiving and not play Christmas, and you would win 17 games. But if there's a person that wins 20, they get the big chips. It's like an extra bonus that Derek put in there. But there's hell or high water. There's 125 left. So if some of them use the Rams and some of them use the Bengals, then they don't qualify for that. So I don't know what that stat is. That's kind of like not in my wheelhouse, but that's pretty sick thinking that halfway through the year, there's 125 people left.
Wait, so if it stopped right now, they'd each get 48,000. So yeah. I'd consider myself a winner right now.
Listen,
if
I would
chopped it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Cash it in happily. I heard something else about the contest that you're talking about, the Circo Survivor, that most years they split the pot.
Correct.
This year, because it's so bloody, as you said, T, last week, Survivor is so crazy, so bloody, and people are just getting crushed. I know, like, Belichick for me also, dream crusher, a lot of people on the pads, everybody out. They said the chances are actually in Circa this year that one person's going to win because they just have these bloody weekends. If it comes down to one person who wins $6 million, they said it's going to be the largest payout in Nevada history.
Wow.
That's in, that in I thought sports? Was really interesting.
In sports, not in
like contests like, winning or like going to the window. Because I don't know if go to the window with more than
And I don't know what the World Series of Poker or any of those kind of things are, but one person winning $6 million on one sports betting contest is that's never happened before. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to happen this year. So it's very strange, crazy year. And I don't know how you keep doing it, T, but everybody I know who's in Survivor has been knocked out.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, that multiple tickets, some contests, they only let you do like three tickets max because then you could really spread your wealth around. I know we had four tickets. I had two tickets in another contest in town here. And I'm not sad to say that if I was alive last week, I'd have been knocked out.
Yeah.
Because I probably would have had the Patriots and I probably would have had the Bucks. I mean, if I had them left, you know, I mean, I most likely might have used the Bucks, but I guarantee you I probably would have had the Pats still in week seven and I would have been out.
Well, think about the craziness of this year that Tampa Bay was favored over Carolina, I think by 13 at 13. Post. Yeah. And the Pats last night were favored by almost 9 at post. Mm-hmm. And both of those teams lost by double digits. You can be sharp, you can be a Joe, but it's very wild and unpredictable this year.
Not only were they double digits, you know, going the opposite way, but like the total in that game last night was 40 and everybody in town was on the under. A lot of people were on the first half Pats because they thought that was safe, -5. That didn't cash.
Nope.
The Bears put up 33 of the 40. It was 30. I mean, they scored the total was a skyrocket way over, but the Bears almost got the total themselves. And I talked to you yesterday and we're like, are you going to do anything? What are you thinking about? I go, I don't know, dude. I don't think so. This is one of those weird, spooky, like Bears second, you know, TV game in 2 weeks, 11 days off. This is one of those backbreak. I'm off it. Thank God.
Yeah.
I didn't have a penny on that game.
Oh,
and I watched it like, oh,
you're so smart for taking the Cowboys. You're like one of the only safe ones.
It's crazy. And
it's
yeah,
crazy.
She kills it. I don't. And again, we don't sit there and have breakfast and go, what are you going to do? You know, for the pod, what are you going to do for the Survivor? We just don't. We just generically want it to be organic. We want it to just happen. And every week she says something and I'm like, my ears perk up and
I consider like locations and if it's a home game and if I think that they're upset about losing last week or winning. I don't know. I just think of those things.
Mm hmm.
I can't wait
to see who you pick today because it's only getting crazier as the weeks go on. But I see you're wearing your Saints shirt. Does that mean no more luck for the New York teams? Are we?
Oh no, I will always have the New York teams.
We need some luck
rooting for that. But I'm just trying to get as much.
She's wearing it because ever since the I Love New York brought us luck.
Yeah, thought maybe I'd send some of that magic towards the Saints.
And what are you going to do when your hometown Raiders go to Nolens this weekend? Who are you rooting for?
We'll have to see.
You know, we're
that's very cryptic. Went to Wisconsin to visit my daughter, who's a junior. Went to the game. We played Purdue. I think my main takeaway, first of all, that school is magic. It's just magic. It's, you know, game day. What we don't have here in Los Angeles that they do have in New Orleans, those great sports towns, like on the morning of game day, every single person is wearing red. Every single person is out. There's music everywhere. People are playing live. You know, there's
such a vibe.
Such a vibe. And everyone's in a great mood. And then you go over to this one plaza, and just like when we visited Berkeley, the marching band comes and everyone gets super psyched up, pep squad, pom-poms, everyone marches over to the field together. It was so much fun. It's like what you would see out of a movie when you think about college and big Division I football. But here's my main takeaway. And, you know, usually I try to crack jokes and keep it fun, but I actually had a takeaway that I thought was really nice. And what they did at the pep rally before the game was everybody's in their red Badger gear. But we played Purdue, Indiana. They're black and gold. There were a couple kids like flying their Purdue colors. They drove to Wisconsin. It's easy in the Midwest to hopscotch like the kids from Michigan drive in when they play Wisconsin, and Wisconsin drives to Indiana and Iowa. They're, you know, it's a couple hours to be in a different state. So there were Purdue kids there. And the first thing the band leader said was, "Welcome, have a great game." And he conducted the band to play a few notes of their fight song. And I just thought, like, you know what? In today's day where everything is hate and you're on that side and I'm on this side and you're the devil and I'm the angel and you're evil. It's so much division and hatred that to start off everything by saying, welcome.
Yeah.
We know you're the enemy, but it's just a football game. Yeah. Let's celebrate. I just thought that was such a class move. And in my head, I'm thinking, you just made it safe for all the kids from Wisconsin who want to go to a Purdue game.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like, you know, usually, look, we've all seen it. We've seen the fights in the stands, even at a Dodger Giants game. Yeah. We've seen the violence. We've seen, like, you know, and it's just like, it's gotten a little bit out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
But the vibe was so positive. And I think specifically because they said, we're all here. We're rooting for our team. I don't care that you're flying different colors. We welcome you. I just thought that was awesome.
Right.
And to piggyback on something I said a few weeks ago, the concession stands, the lines still a bit long. However, this was really interesting to me. No booze at the game, no alcohol served.
Interesting.
Which I've never seen before in my life. And at first, you know me, I'm like, no booze? Why am I even here?
Yeah.
But then I say, oh, wow, that's interesting, because first of all, the lines move faster, but the crowd was so much more like less rowdy and less angry. And the ref made a couple bad calls, but no one got like super aggro about it. And I thought, like, whoa, that's interesting. I've never been to a stadium before where they serve no alcohol.
Do you know the reason behind that?
They're doing that in colleges because of the underage drinking. So a lot of schools are doing that. I don't think California does, though.
I think what happened also, it was explained to me that people tailgate so hard that by the time the game starts at 2 o'clock, they're wasted.
Not even.
And they don't want to overserve. And like you're saying, Jay, maybe they have fake IDs, whatever. And it's just like for them, they don't want like a bunch of drunken knuckleheads.
No. Yeah.
And so honestly, at first I was like, no booze, what the hell? And by the end of the game, everyone was smiling. Everyone was in
the sure you were like, okay before the game. I'm sure.
Look, I don't need alcohol to have
I know. But I'm sure you might have had a Bloody Mary.
I might need a little alcohol to have a good time. my point is, hey, you know what?
I love it.
It worked. It was great. I love the University of Wisconsin. I'm so happy my daughter goes there.
That's awesome.
Met her boyfriend and her boyfriend's family. They were super nice and super cool. We had a blast. Hung out with her roommate and their folks because it was homecoming. So a lot of parents were in town. A long trip for us to go all the way from LA, fly into Chicago, rent a car, drive to Wisconsin just for the weekend. But for you guys, I could only hope that when Wyatt grows up, he goes to a school that has that school spirit and that sense of camaraderie and everyone pulling in the same direction, and also welcomes the opposing team with such class. So thank you for asking. We had a fantastic weekend. How was the rest of your trip to San Diego?
It was good. It was very low key, mellow, lots of pool days, beach days, walking to like the local, we have like a local pizza place that's next to where we stay. Just great weather, makes us miss California for sure.
Yeah,
that's a shout out to Solana Beach and Cardiff and all that. I mean, that's like a small town in a big state. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's beachy and it's flip flops. And like, we go to this little restaurant called Pipes. It's like a burger joint, breakfast burrito joint. They couldn't be any nicer. Oh yeah, you know, helpful. The two little ladies behind the bar, but it says no shirt, no shoes, no problem. Like it's just sandals, flip flops, and short pants.
Reminds me of Hawaii.
San Diego. Yeah. You know, us coming from California, but Southern California, but not San Diego. Like, you know, there's NorCal, and then there's, you know, LA, and then there's Diego, and then Mexico. But it's like something about that weather. It's just different. Just a little warmer. The water's a little warmer.
It has like a crisp smell to it too. That
beachy, not deserty. Like we're, you know, it's always good to get a little fresh, moist air. But it's like we realize like the kid is young though. Mm-hmm. He's 8 months old. He enjoyed, you know, we did the video of the sand. And
he went in the beach, ocean,
the feet in the water.
Did he like it?
He loved it.
Oh, it's awesome.
And then, but then he got sand.
And then he forgot.
Hand,
and then he forgot. Yeah.
What is this?
And then he forgot 10 seconds later. That's the thing. He's a little on the young side, but you know, we talked about this yesterday. You get that first picture. And you show him when he's, hey, this is your first, look at dad walking you in the water, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, great. I don't remember that, but we have it. It's there. Tanya wants to make it like more traditional because we've always gone to Solana Beach, but
you should.
She wants to, we've already booked for next year. So like,
smart.
Let's keep the tradition
alive.
The new tradition with our boy alive. Absolutely.
And then pretty soon you'll be going once a year, but you and Wyatt will be taking your boards down together and 100%. That will be awesome.
That's like the dream. I know you've done that. It's just like, so come
fun.
On. Come on.
So
bro.
Fun.
And then I can take him to Del Mar and we can smoke cigarettes and
listen,
watch the horse races.
Dude, that is so funny.
I got Roadrunner in the eighth.
Oh my God. I was about to say, what a fun thing to look forward to. And you went straight to the horse race.
Yeah, he's got the paper rolled up and he's slapped. Come on, Six. Come on, Six, you bastard. Come on. Oh my God. Like Mush in Bronxdale.
Chip
come
off
on,
the old,
seven. He's like slapping the paper block. On his hip, you know?
Oh, as like so a 5 good. Year old.
He's
that's
five.
So good.
He's five.
That's really funny.
Del Mar, here we come.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Good.
Great time with family, mom and dad, like the whole thing. It was awesome.
Well, clearly your vacation didn't put a damper on your picks. My vacation, I don't even know which way is up. So I got to get back on track this week. Yeah. I can't.
We all do.
That. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's keep the magic going.
Also, don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel. Give us a good old thumbs up right below, right here. See it right here, just press it. Doesn't do anything except give us a good thing on our channel.
Push the button
and subscribe and leave us a comment.
We'd love to hear comments, guys. And we'd love to respond.
Yes.
But you got to leave them.
The only thing more fun than watching football is betting on it. Ready to make some cash?
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
So, Survivor, what am I going to pick this week?
Oh snap, drum roll.
Yeah, I'm kind of freaking out actually because you've been like super on it, so I need to know.
I might be taking the biggest risk of the season.
Oh no.
Thanks, baby.
Whoa. Wow.
So...
I think I distorted my microphone. Whoa.
Hey, this isn't an uproar.
I know. And there's a couple different elements. We are Saints fans, obviously. We're not doing too hot this season. We also live in Las Vegas right now, and Raiders would be considered our home team. They're playing the Raiders.
Got love for the Raiders.
Raiders are playing the Saints in the Superdome. And the Superdome is very known for just loud chaos commotion. The Saints are mad because they're not doing great. I think maybe it's a chance for them to bring it home, to have a victory.
It's a must win.
It's a must win. Like it's, I think the only thing that they're thinking about right now is we just have to win in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders are not great either. And I'm not sure what the stats are right now on them winning away. I don't think it's
they
great.
They have not won away.
Yeah, I don't think Zero. It's great. So all those factors involved, I think I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints.
That is so darn sharp.
Yeah, they're both 2-5. It's sad when this happens because someone's season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
This is the stepping off point for either of them.
100%. Talk about, you know, the Bucks. They're in that division. They're 3-4, whatever they are. And it's like, they're still right there. They're a game out because everyone's kind of like, you know.
Crappy division, yeah.
Right. But when you're talking about 2-6, there's not a division in the world that can save you. I mean, this is not even a question. Somebody's season's over.
Yeah.
The Saints, I will say, have had a lot of injuries. They're playing a backup quarterback, no Michael Thomas. Defense isn't playing as good as they did last year. The Raiders have just been bad. They just haven't had chemistry.
Yeah.
New coach, 2-5. There's, you know, Derek Carr, this and, you know, that. But the Saints have had a little bad luck. And I think that, like I said, I think that's a great pick because someone's season's over. And that's hard to watch because inevitably someone has to lose.
Someone has to lose. And I just think they're very similar right now in where they stand. So it's going to, like you said, one of them has to shine. One of them has to come out on top. So
I think Alvin Kamara is going to have a big day. I don't think the Raiders. I mean, I like some of the Raiders' offensive weapons. And I know they put together a good game last week, but New Orleans is due. They're just due.
They're at home
in one of, I think Seattle is maybe the other stadium that's known for being
Seattle's so loud.
Yeah. Oh, Superdome, you can't even hear yourself think.
But it's also so that loud. Halloween, that voodoo magic, that crazy voodoo magic. Is going to be an atmosphere.
Yeah.
And the Raiders, too. Think about that. You know, that whole black hole thing with the those dudes are going to be showing up. They're going to be in spikes and leather.
The last Saints Raiders game we went to, I was terrified for my life.
In Oakland.
In Oakland. Yeah. It was very, very, very loud.
Yeah. Those guys are full Mad Max.
Yeah.
Mad Max.
The atmosphere should be rolling. We have the NFL ticket, but that's on TV here in town. Like, that's the game. Yep. You go to any bar, you want to watch a Saints game, trust me, it'll be on because it's the Raiders. So in this town, it's the talk of the town, the steam of the town. I'm glad it's not here, to be honest with you. I'm glad it's out there. But yeah, right. That's sharp. I would have never thought that.
So sharp. That surprised the heck out of me.
I kind of thought when she had the shirt on, maybe there was a vibe there, but I was like, what?
Well, I gave New York the shirt love.
You did.
And so now I have to give Saints the shirt love because maybe it's a little good juice in the air.
I dig it.
Would you say you're going to lock that up?
I would say I'm locking up the New Orleans Saints.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
Again, all glory goes to God.
Do you need me to put a fan on you? Because you're red hot.
I feel good. I need it. You know, I need a victory, small victory, if you will. But I need to keep this going because as hot as you can be, it's not hard in this year, in this spooky year, to cool off.
True.
So I have an interesting concept. I did both my New York teams last week, both dogs, both on the road, both successful. The one thing I'll say about the G-men, they're 6-1. I predicted last week that going into that Philly game with the stretch of like Jacksonville and Seattle, and you know, they have a couple like, so I think Houston's in there, that they'd go into Philly about 8-2. That was my prediction.
Mm.
I think this is the two. They're 6-1 right now. They beat the Jags. They're going to beat Houston. They're going to lose to Seattle in Seattle this week. The MVP, Geno, MVP Smith. I'm just kidding. But we talked about Geno, and Geno's having a hell of a year.
Yeah.
He's all over the news. He's all over TV shows. Like, dude, he's in the universe for sure. Like, this is, believe in second chances. This guy's taking full advantage of that. Seattle is rolling, putting up big numbers. And the Giants have only led going into the fourth quarter once all year. They're 6-1 in Tennessee. They were leading, and then Tennessee came back, and then they barely squeaked that game out 20, like in the last seconds, 21-20. Every week they're trailing. And then Brian Daboll, coach of the year candidate for sure, has like a rabbit's foot or like a nine lives or some voodoo magic himself, because somehow they go into the locker room and they right the ship. They figure it out. They play close D. They get some breaks their way and they win. This is not going to be a situation where they're going to be able to hang with Seattle. This is a great spot for them, coming off a big win. They're at home in that loud stadium, like we talked about, the 12th man and all that. And I'll tell you right now that this is the game that the Giants have to settle back and go, okay, we got our butts kicked, and then they'll regroup and they'll play Houston and they'll be fired up to play Philly. But for that reason and so many more, I think the magic kind of runs out just for 1 week only. Giants are a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. I think their win total in the year was 7.
Mm.
So one more win for the G-Man, and you can go cash your future in, because it's going to already cash in the 8th or 9th week. So they're a playoff team. They're good to go, but not this week. So give me Seattle minus the 3, and I'm going to lock that up. What do you think?
Well, I guess we could do something a little out of order for this pod, because I was smiling the entire time you were talking. My first pick was going to be Seattle. So okay. It's the second time that we've had a double like, and we can stagger it. I'll just go and pick you back on yours, please. Because I love your breakdown. I love your handicap. I'll also say that last week the Giants were in Florida. Now they have to travel to Seattle. I love that 12th man tee. Like you're saying, the crowd is just absolutely crazy. When, as Elton John said, when are you going to come back down? When are you going to go land? Right? When are the G-men going to land? And I love what you said about most of their victories are very squeaker, small point victories. Mm-hmm. So they've had a lot of luck on their side too. Mm-hmm. When does it run out? Mm-hmm. Seattle playing out of their mind. There's a question about DK Metcalf, but I don't think that should prevent them from winning at home, covering the spread, even on a neutral field. So give them, I mean, they should be 4.5-point favorites based on their home field advantage, one of the only home field advantages, like you said, T. So for all those reasons, all the reasons that you said, Jay, I also like Seattle for a double like.
Well, I love it. That's good to know, because also, like you said, that it should be the. I have that line like somewhere between 4 and 5 almost. And it's like,
agree.
Just because if I was looking back at Seattle, I mean, Seattle's had a couple stinkers. They played San Francisco. They scored 7. You know, they've had a couple of those, but for the most part, I look, even the Saints beat them 39-32. They're putting up numbers and they're running the football. Walker's running the football. They have they have a little more arsenal, and I just think that's going to be too much. So
I love it.
I'm glad we agree on that. So I guess
I can third agree, because that would have been my second runner up.
Yeah, I like second that a lot. I mean, overall. I could feel good about that. Don't you think? Like yeah. That feels good going in.
Absolutely. So
I would say on that note, give us the Seattle Seahawks minus 3, and let's lock it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
So that's awesome. I'm glad that we all agree on that. That's a good start for the show. My second pick is, and again, there's two things that I did. I'm trying to think of where it was. It was two dogs. It was two favorites, two dogs, a dog and a favorite, two favorites and two dogs last week. So that was my trend of what's happening. So this week, my first pick was a favorite, Seattle minus the 3, home favorite. The second pick is also a home favorite. And I'm going to tell you why I like this game so much. It's the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. And I have so much to back this up. And it's like, I'm not just throwing flags into the wind here. Atlanta was 6-0 ATS going into that game against Cincinnati last week. Arthur Smith, another head coach candidate for coach of the year. The Falcons are tied for first place with those Bucks at 3-4. And again, let me remind you, the Saints at 2-5 are only a game back. That's how bad that whole division is. And they beat each other up. Carolina just beat down Tom Brady and the Bucks at home last week. Divisional rival. Now they're going to fly to Atlanta, another divisional rival. It's very, 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 very hard to win two division games in a row, period. I don't care what division you're in. This is that spot for Carolina. Cincy got all over them last week. That game was over before it even started. Joe Burrow threw for 481 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He ran for 20 yards and another touchdown. He beat them down. PJ Walker is not Joe Burrow. Sam Darnold is not Joe Burrow. This is that spot right now where Atlanta just tail between their legs on that flight home from Cincinnati, and Arthur Smith had them running, what do you call it? Like running line runs, line drills, push-ups. I don't know what he had them doing. But I'll tell you one thing. They're going to be ready to roll. That spread opened at 6. And now it's ticking down the other way to 4.5 because like we always talk about, everybody likes what they last saw. They just saw Carolina beat down the Bucks. Now they're Carolina's the truth. They're going to get smashed this week. So my pick, my second pick, without any further ado, is the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds, -4.5. And I'm locking that up. What do you guys think?
I don't like it. I love it.
I love it.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you've been smoking lately, but pass the Dutchie on the left-hand side.
Let's go.
You said they opened at 6. They opened at 6.5.
Okay.
You're getting 2 full points of value. Line value. PJ Walker, talk about coming back down to earth. Like, good for you, dude. But there's not a chance that they can stop Atlanta.
Nope.
Atlanta moves the ball really well. They're running, I think they're averaging like 160 yards on the ground.
Yeah, and Patterson's out. When Patterson was in, they were leading the league. He had like 400 yards rushing, and now this new kid, Algiers, I think his name is, I don't want to mess it up, is running for same thing.
I think Atlanta is absolutely the team to bet on, and to get that much value at home, I love that pick.
I love it too. And that's why I'm locking it up.
Lock it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
Okay, well, we know my first pick was Seattle. I doubled up on you. going with your voodoo Halloween theme, my second pick is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals going to Cleveland. Not only are their uniforms orange and black for Halloween, but they have the Ohio kid, Joe Burrow. I don't usually like taking road favorites necessarily, but I do love the way Cincy seemed to have put everything together and figure it out. Heard somebody say that they moved Joe Burrow primarily to the shotgun, and for some reason that was like magic for him. Here's a fun stat. He threw for over 300 yards last week in the first half.
Wow.
So they all of a sudden they decided, you know what, Joe Mixon, we're not a running team anymore. We're going back to the connection, the LSU connection. This is not a very complicated handicap for me. I think Cincinnati's trending this way. I don't like what the Cleveland Browns are doing. They seem a little lost. I don't think their defense is as good as everyone expected their defense to be. And I don't think that Jacoby Brissett is necessarily, you know, going to overcome what they have, their deficiencies for Cleveland. They still have the best two running backs in the game. But if they're behind by 10 points to Joe Burrow, how are they going to catch up? So, and also I like Cincinnati's field goal kicker a lot. So not a complicated handicap, like I'm saying. My money's on Joe Burrow in the matchup of Ohio. Plus, Cincinnati hates Cleveland. Mm. So I like the fire. I like the Halloween. I like the orange and black. Joe Burrow's a winner. Give me Cincinnati -3 on the road. What do you think?
I like that. And it's, you know, what's funny is that what you just said about the two running backs, you've always said, like when you talk about Belichick, he takes away your strengths. Mm. If you know that that's all that's going to happen, I mean, like Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, but they're just, they're wanted men. You know what I'm saying? Like they're walking out there getting tripled up, getting smashed, bringing
stack,
eight.
Stack the box.
Yeah. So it's like, come on, dude. It's not a puzzle. They're waiting for Deshaun to get back. I mean, that's the percent is not the truth. I have Tyler Boyd in my fantasy league, and I looked down at my phone and he had like a 30 in the first quarter. And I wasn't even watching the game. I'm like, what the heck? I go to my phone, 73-yard touchdown, da-da-da-da, 4 catches already, 153. I'm like, are you kidding me? The guy got a 50 in my fantasy league for him. Tyler Boyd. Not to mention Jamar Chase that got thrown the ball with 4 guys around him, like looked like a 4-square game and just took off and zigzagged into the end zone. It's too much. I love that pick.
Good.
I mean, I love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, I'm glad you like it because you're on fire and I'm cold, so I need to warm up a little bit.
I'm so hot for you and you're so cool.
I like your confidence behind it.
Yes, I'm going to take the Bengals and lock it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, lock it up.
All right, let's recap. On today's FNL, T says, go down to the bayou. get some voodoo, and bet on the hometown Saints.
Who dat?
I love that. Who dat?
Oh my gosh, this is the week.
Justin, Mr. Heatmiser, says take Seattle minus three. I also say take Seattle minus three and take Atlanta at home minus 4.5. And I also like the Cincinnati Bengals on the road minus three against the Browns. And that's our show.
Wow, this is a great. I mean, maybe next year we should all be in like makeup and wigs and
Halloween costume.
Red noses and polka dotted, you know,
yeah,
get into the vibe a little because I do like Halloween and I'm excited to spend my first Halloween with the boy. We're gonna
Does he have a costume?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we're finishing it, but
okay.
Yes.
All right.
Very
is it
exciting.
A surprise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. It's Friday. When this show hits, we will be at the parade patch action. So this is going to be a fun week. Again, he's young. He's not going to remember it, but I'm grateful.
Yeah.
So, you know, parlaying off of your Wisconsin trip and your daughter and her success and your family and family weekend and homecoming and my kid and my wife. I just want to say cheers. Beat the book. Gamble responsibly or don't. That's up to you. But beat the book is the most important thing to remember. And cheers to family. And cheers to memories.
Well said. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Thank you for supporting Friday Night Locks by clicking the like and subscribe button and leaving us a review. Thanks again for tuning in and see you all next week. Good luck at the book.